today, our scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Again, that's Luke 21, 25 through 36. So I want you to hear the word of God. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So I want to tell you a couple of things. One, I want to tell you about a trip my wife and I took a few years ago. We are in a good non-pandemic year, Disney people, and so we would often go to Disney multiple times. On our honeymoon, we went to Disney, in fact, because when I gave my wife her ring, I said, so have you thought about, and she said, Disney World. So she knew exactly where we were going for our honeymoon before I could finish asking the question. So when we go down there, we go to a certain place in Epcot, and it's called Living with the Land, which happens to be the name of the sermon today. And it's funny the types of things that make it into amusement parks, especially Epcot, right? Has anybody ever been to Epcot Center at Disney? Okay. It's an odd duck of an amusement park, right? Only recently have they started putting in, like, rides. Right? It was a lot of experiences. You would walk around and look at things, and you would say, hey, this is kind of what it looks like in Italy, and this is kind of what it looks like in Mexico, and things like that. And if there was a ride, it was kind of like a tourism commercial, right? Maybe with some Disney characters thrown on top. But you learned a lot when you went to Epcot. And one of the things in Epcot is called Living with the Land. And in that ride, you get on a little boat, just like on It's a Small World, okay? Except instead of looking at the little kids singing from all over the world that are made out of wood, right? Instead, you see plants and trees and how they grow the different things that people eat in the park. And you see aquaponics and hydroponics and stuff grown in sand and things grown upside down and all kinds of really cool stuff that happens to be there on the grounds. And it made me think, how odd is it that we would go to an industrialized city like Orlando on a vacation, probably on an airplane, if not on an airplane, in a car for a long trip, right? Stay at a fancy motel or a hotel or a little motel nearby, regardless, drive, do all this stuff, modern things, right? To get to a place at which they tell you about dirt and vegetables and fruit and how to grow them, and what happens when you use fish to help things grow, all that kind of stuff, right? And there's even like a little animatronic show at the beginning that shows you how the buffalo broke up the prairies because they walked so much on it, and it caused it to grow and to bloom and not to be a desert. There's all kinds of fascinating things in there, and yet it still is at its heart a boat ride that teaches you about how things grow. And I wondered, you know, nothing in a place like that happens without somebody thinking deeply about it. And I wondered, why is it that there's a ride about that? And I think that the issue is, the reason there's a ride about it, is that by and large, we as a society are disconnected from the land, right? Now, we live out in the country, okay? I mean, it's a city of Welford, am I right? Town of Welford, whatever, you know? But yet, you know, we don't have skyscrapers and we have dirt and grass and all that kind of stuff. There's people who still grow things. But most of our population in the United States today lives in urban areas, right? And if they don't live in a city, they live in the suburbs around a city in which there are more houses than there are plants, right? If there's a garden, it's somebody trying to make a couple bucks. There's very little of any connection with the land. And then I thought about my favorite Disney souvenir of all time to this point, okay? And it actually is this. This is my favorite Disney souvenir. Now you can't see it on the internet. Here it is. This is a Kalanco, okay? I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but it's a plant, okay? And when you leave Living with the Land, they will sell you at Disney World, I'm not kidding you, a little tube with a teeny tiny little sapling of a different kind of plant in it. And in that thing, it's got this like growth medium. It's not dirt, it's some kind of gel that as long as you don't open the tube, it'll live in there, kind of not growing, but it'll live for a really long time. And you take that tube home, and then you follow the instructions, you plant it eventually, you take it outside, and it grows into a full-size plant. And now, my wife and I have loved this, because we have one, I think we got two that we got from Disney, I think this is the younger one. One that has lived for like 12 years, and one that's probably 6 or 7. And it made me think, how odd is it that we give out souvenirs of plants? Because we don't all have plants. We don't all get connected with the dirt and the soil on which we live. And I'm just as bad. We have a garden in the backyard and we plant things, but there are often days where we go, you know, 3 or 4 days, it rained, we're not gonna worry about it, right? And we don't like to weed. Why? Because it's annoying to weed. Does anybody else like to weed? No, some of you may do it, right? But I hate it. It's laborious and it's no fun and get dirty and all this. But when you're out digging in the dirt, when you're out planting something, when you're out tending what you've placed into the dirt, there's something that happens. There's a peace that you experience in the dirt, digging and uprooting and replanting and separating and all that, that is a peace that you don't get any other time. And I was thinking, I wonder why that is. What is it about the soil that connects us with God? There have been studies that show that, you know, a little bit of gardening, a little bit of getting dirty is good for your health, good for your mental health, it's good for your physical health. Being exposed to all that stuff in the dirt is actually good for kids, right? If we keep them slathered in hand sanitizer and things like that, then that's not actually good for them, right? In the long run, if that's all we do, right? Not saying we shouldn't keep them clean. Okay, but we need to allow them to get dirty and to play. And when we get into the dirt, I'm convinced that it matters because it connects us to who and what we are. Because, right, when God made humankind, right, we hear in Genesis 2, when God made humankind, what did God do? Take the mud, form it up, and make it into a person. Right? That is our genesis, our beginning. It's coming from dirt. And then when we die, what do? We become back to dirt. Now, depending on our burial practices, it may take a lot longer or it may be really quick. Some of us may end up as ashes and tossed somewhere to help something grow. Some of you may get one of those, you know, new things they're talking about that you plant a tree in the casket or whatever and it grows. I kind of think that's pretty cool, but I'm also kind of a hippie. But, you know, whatever it is, eventually we return to those same things that we started as, right? Our physical nature. And there's something wonderful about being reconnected with that cycle of life and birth and beauty and decay and death and then growth back from that death. This plant has looked like it was dead so many times that we mourned because we had killed our souvenir. Now, we got the best value that we've ever gotten on a, you know how souvenirs are, right? Usually they break before you get them home, right? But these have grown and lived and thrived, and then every once in a while I'll mess up and it'll look dead, and I'll cut off pieces and think, well, at least it lasted a while, and then, lo and behold, a couple little green spots here, a little more green, and then it becomes this big, amazing thing that it is today. Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and he's telling them, he's warning them about his second coming. Not warning them because it's going to be bad, right? Look at verse 28. When these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. It's something to be excited about, but it's something you don't want to miss. And it's really easy to miss things when there's a whole lot going on, right? As we get closer and closer to Christmas, there's a temptation. That temptation is to get caught up in all the bustle and the rush and the running here and the running there and getting that present and getting that present. Going to this store and that store, decorating this, cooking that, right? Making sure you've got everything just in the perfect place. But what happens when we do that is we miss out on the little opportunities. When you look back on your kid's childhood, or even on your own childhood, the big moments that you remember, the things that make you tear up when you think about it, they're generally not at the thing you paid a whole bunch of money for, are they? It's the time stolen in the backyard. It's watching your child with food all over their face. It's playing in the dirt pile, or chasing the dog, right? It's little things that are everyday common things. And when we focus so much on the end result, right? Got to get to Christmas. Got to have the house looking perfect. Got to have everything right there. All the presents have to be perfect. I want my child to remember every single gift when they're 40 and say, boy, wasn't that amazing that mom and daddy got me that, right? And we know the truth. They're not going to remember most of what we got them, right? But what we can hope that they will remember is the love that they felt when we were out in the backyard. Hopefully they'll remember getting to be a part of watering the garden. Hopefully they'll remember standing around the stove preparing a meal. These are the things that we miss when our loved ones are gone, right? We don't say we wish that they could be back so that we could hop in the car and fly on an airplane and go to this exotic location. We say we wish we could have them back to talk, have them back to cook dinner again, right? Have them back to watch the game together, right? Little things, everyday things. And so, when we think about the dirt and the land, I want you to think about what Jesus is saying here. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that's going to happen before the second coming. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and distress among the nations, people fainting from fear, and the powers of the heavens will be shaking, and then the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't see the clouds if I'm looking at the TV. I can't hear the rumble of the earth if I've got my music up too loud. I'm not prepared to hear what's going on in the world if I have locked myself off in my own little echo chamber on Facebook and Twitter and everything else, and I only see what I want to see. I can't know what's going on. Yesterday, we were participating in a little bit of that hustle and bustle of the season. We decided we were going to go as all out as we have on decorating our house this year for Christmas. And so we put out our inflatables and we got all that kind of stuff because we're kind of tacky, but we enjoy it. And by the way, it spread to the neighborhood. When we moved into our neighborhood, nobody else even had a wreath up. Okay? It was like somebody had told them they weren't allowed to. And we didn't know any better, so we started putting up our inflatables and stuff like that. And then house over here started putting up stuff, house over there. And now there's this, like, it's spreading through the neighborhood, which is glorious. And now you drive in at night, and it's really nice. But we decided we were going to put up Christmas lights. And on, all my mistakes. I put one of them up backward, one of the strings of lights up backwards, so that I had two female ends, and I'm like, what am I going to do? So I had to take that down and start again. And a whole bunch of just frustration, right? But also, there was a time where I was up on the ladder, head above the roof line, hooking things on, and I heard the birds singing, and I heard the wind blowing, and I felt the sun on my face, and I said, this is really nice, right? Isn't it nice to feel the sun, to hear the birds, to be out in it, not really doing much of anything, right? Just a part of God's wonderful creation. But it's so easy for us to get caught up. And not only when things are going good, right? And when we've got a lot of money and we've got a lot of resources, we can get wrapped up in getting Christmas ready and making it perfect. But think of how many people among us aren't able to take that time to relax and to feel part of nature because they're working three jobs just to be able to pay for where they live, right? Or the people who are working a job and then they come home and they're a primary caregiver for another person, right? Or the ones who are struggling because of spousal support issues, divorce or abuse. Those who are struggling because they are struggling with mental issues, depression, anxiety, bipolar, all those struggles that happen. And when all that stuff is going in your head, you're unable to focus on what is good, you know, what is quiet and what is calm. Jesus says, there's a storm coming, but you don't have to go hunker down and try to hide from it. But you need to be ready for it. And the only way that we can get ready for things is to prepare, right? This plant started as, and I'm not kidding you, a little seedling about that big. Okay. And we had to prepare. We had to wash off the goo. We had to get it into something, keep it in a very specific place for about 3 weeks under like a plastic bag. And then we had to take the plastic bag off, and then we could transition it to this. And then we could transition. It was like a 3-month process just to be able to get it outside. And then when it was outside, you had to keep it safe from too much sun, make sure it gets enough sun, make sure it doesn't get too wet, make sure it doesn't get too dry, right? It's the same way with anything else. It takes constant work, constant reminders of the love that is needed to make something grow. And it's that way with people, right? It's that way with relationships. How often have we gotten wrapped up in all the stuff we have to do and forgetting the work of a spouse or a child, forgetting that there must be tilling done in order to keep that relationship fresh and growing and happy. You see, we all come from soil somewhere. We come from the soil. I personally come from, I was born in a different place, but I count my soil as the soil up in the mountains of North Carolina and spruce pine. I think of Ledger, the little town that I grew up in, which was makes Welford look like a roaring metropolis. Okay. And I think of what that soil means about me. It means that I have a certain attitude of growing up in a small, isolated place. It means that I like certain foods. It means that I talk a certain way. It means that I might be sensitive about certain topics. It means that I have blind spots because I didn't grow up around certain types of people, right? The soil that I come from matters, and the soil that we come from matters. But just because our soil might be clay doesn't mean we can't grow something on it, right? All we have to do is fertilize it. We have to put some stuff in there to help it to grow the right things. That's what Advent's about. Advent is about improving our soil, the place where we're planted. Sometimes we're dissatisfied with the pot we're in. We think it's not big enough, or we think that they didn't put enough Miracle-Gro in there, or whatever. This is not high-class enough soil for me. I need something better. And yet God says, the earth is mine. When you look at the trees, you can see that summer is already near. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Don't let it sneak up on you. The only way that we cannot miss what God is doing in the world is to be in the world. The only way that we cannot miss our plants blooming is to be out with our plants every day. The only way that we cannot miss the growth that our children have, or our spouses have, or our family has, or the people that we work with have, is to be with them, right? To be with them in the dirty parts of their lives, digging out weeds, helping to fix the root rot, helping to get the bugs off of them. But if we're unwilling to get in there, get into that soil, we'll never improve it, and we'll miss the wonderful blooming. So I encourage you this week, take a moment, feel the soil. Maybe get out there on your own with your hands and dig in the dirt. But if that's not what you need to do, tend that soil of the garden of your family, the garden of your relationship with God, so that you can grow and be strong and be ready for when the kingdom comes. I don't want to be inside watching TV when the kingdom comes, right? I don't want to miss it because I've gotten so wrapped up in a whole bunch of unimportant things. But I want to be ready. And I know that the way I can be ready is to be connected, filled with hope, filled with love, filled with joy, and filled with peace. Amen?
Amen.
Our closing hymn is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We're going to do verses 1 and 4. It's on page 211. And as you sing this, I want you to hear the song, right? It's a song of longing, waiting for God to come. Come and be with us. Let that be our mantra. Let us sing.